All right, the Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. Okay, so what you have then, let's activate our spirit by reading from that. Okay? If you are ready, say amen.
Amen.
All right, 1, 2, let's go. Now I declare that the Lord has given me the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. And I'm being filled with the knowledge of His will, in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. As a result of this, I'm walking in a manner worthy of the Lord. I am pleasing Him in all respects. I am bearing fruit in every good work, and I'm increasing in the knowledge of God. Now again, I incline my ears to His word. His word is entering my heart. It is giving me light and direction. It is healing me in every area, and it's making me more and more like the Lord Jesus. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. Amen.
Amen.
I said amen.
Amen.
If you believe that that's what God is doing for you, give me an amen.
Amen.
Now listen, let me prophesy to you. The word will enter your heart this evening.
Amen.
And tomorrow morning too.
Amen.
It will give you understanding.
Amen.
It will make that which was obscure clear to you.
Amen.
And now listen to this. It will heal every disease that may be in your body.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
I want you to know that if you came here with any ailment, even if they tell you it's a disease of old age, the word of God can make new your body again in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And that will be your experience in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
All right, greet somebody on your left and your right. Tell the person you are welcome and you can take your seat. Tell somebody you are welcome. Now, there are two portions of scriptures I want to start today with. Of course, we are talking about Deciders of Destiny, and the subtitle for our teaching is Revealing and Overcoming the True Enemies of Destiny. The emphasis on that there is true, because the reason why I'm saying that, okay, is because you see, there are many teachings around people looking for enemies of destiny. There are many things, many prayers you hear. Okay, sometimes you see by posters. I've always wanted to do this, actually, to do a program on enemies of destiny. I've always wanted to do it so that people will learn what the true enemies are. Many times you see posters here and there, you know, discussing enemies of destiny. People are supposed to come and pray. And so you now hear things like, "Auntie, waiting, I do you." Have you seen that kind of poster before? Yes. Uh-huh. Yes, "Auntie, waiting, I do you." And they will tell you that somebody, of course, you start hearing all kinds of testimonies. Now, many of those things, they start because we hear strange testimonies. Once, I heard somebody say, actually, they called my wife, saying that had their neighbors finally confessed that for, is it 12 or 20 years, something in that dimension, they have been the ones responsible for the troubles in the family. Now, let me say that again. For 12 or 20 years, somebody said they have been the ones responsible for the troubles of that family. Sometimes you come to church, you hear testimonies. Somebody will tell you something like, my auntie, we found out she's a witch. There was a time some relative came to me and said, "Have you heard?" I said, "Heard what?" That that our relative, his wife, have been told, we have found out that she's a witch. And then you come to church, you hear these kind of testimonies. People will come and say, then they prayed. And then a number of things will happen. The witch may die, or the witch will confess. But let's make a long story short. Their freedom is always dependent on the witch dying or confessing. Do you follow my point here? Yes. So, and then truth, it now creeps into our hearts. We now become very suspicious. People now start hearing things like you have a near success syndrome. And when you talk about that near success syndrome, what somebody is saying is that it has been placed upon the family as a curse. That's really where the issue is. Somebody plays upon the family. Before my uncle was the only person that seemed to be doing well in the extended family, then he died. And they will start looking. And the pastors start this kind of ministry. They call it deliverance most of the times. We now start looking for, where did this start from? You know, show me the story of my life. You know, you hear pastors give testimonies. There was one girl, she could never get married. She did, until she was like 30 something, 38, and she wasn't married. And then they now found out that her mother, when she was born, her mother tied something with a string and put it under a rock at the back of their compound in the village. So they prayed. God revealed it. They went there, removed that thing, and then they broke the bondage. Half of the time, that's where the story ends. You don't hear the rest of it. But sometimes after that, she began to make progress. And then sometimes people tell you that it's inside the ceiling. And their deliverance ministers, their job is to go around to dig around your compound. They dig around looking for something that was buried. Something that was buried. And have you heard this one before? Do you know where your placenta is? It becomes a prayer point. Do you know where your placenta is? That's how deliverance ministry starts. You come to somebody and then they want to locate who caused the problem. You know, that's the attitude. Who is the cause? Now listen to this. This is a focus most of the time. Let me quickly say this. It's a result of idol worship. It's a result of African idol worship. That's how we have always been. Now, so we tend to focus on who is responsible. That's what I want to say. It's a typical thing. When you go to prayer, it is who is responsible that we tend to focus on. And anytime, now listen to this, because the heart is already prepared to hear such things. Anytime somebody says to us, somebody's responsible, we quickly believe. That's the problem, because we have already been primed. Okay, now, you know, people like Europeans, Americans, sometimes you have Christians amongst them also, of course, a lot of times. Somebody who grew up in North America, as an example, a lot of them are Christians. If they went to church to pray, and you were to tell them somebody is responsible for their problems, they are slow to believe. Why? Their mind is not primed for such things. It's not primed. They are more likely to come to you asking for miraculous intervention. They are more likely to come to you as a preacher asking for what should I do to come out of this problem. But when an African goes to a pastor, the first thing that comes to his mind is who is responsible. So, when a joker of a preacher calls somebody's name, we are quick to hear it. We are quick to accept it. It now becomes a problem, okay, for us to reject, for us to be convinced that that cannot possibly be. So we're always looking for who is the witch around. A family is not doing well. They don't check anything about themselves. The first thing they check is about the environment. Who did my father offend? Was there one man that was a strong DB at that time that my father did something against? And then those are things they will start looking for. Who is jealous of my progress? And that is why many times we get home, we get promotion. You tell your mother, I'm not a manager. Quiet. You want the neighbors to hear. Like, what is the issue? I'm a manager. Why can't I tell the neighbors? No, people are very wicked. And we are afraid of jealous people. I had one testimony the other day. Somebody shared it in church. It was reported to me. I said, what a shame. He said, you see, my husband's aunties, they are wicked people. One day he was going home. And I warned him not to give anything to them. But he didn't listen. He went home and gave money to his aunties. And since that time, our financial problems began. Have you heard that before? So you hear this all the time. Don't give money to strangers. Don't give money. You are going to the village, don't give money to your aunties. Don't give money to this. Don't give money to that person. And what is all of this about? It's simply because we are afraid that they may afflict us with their troubles. And if we ever have troubles, first thing we do is, who did I give money to last time? You know, I was in the office. I was talking to some doctors, and this matter came up. And the things I taught them that day, I will teach you this weekend. But I want to tell you the story one of them told me. That his wife used to warn him not to give money to beggars. And that he wouldn't listen. So after he had two problems, he stopped. I said, what are the problems? He said, one day he was traveling. He bought fuel. The change All right, he got handed to the beggar at the filling station. And along the road, his tire went down. I said, okay. It's another time. Something happened. He stopped to buy something. He gave money to some beggars there. Along the road, he had this thing, maybe fell into a gutter or something. But then I said, did you die? He said, no. Was your car seriously damaged? He said, no. Were you injured in any way? No. I said, so you believe? No, he said, now he doesn't give money to beggars if he's traveling. That he only gives money to beggars if he's in town. And he's not going anywhere. In my mind, this is foolishness. So I said to him, listen, has it crossed your mind that you were going to die on one of those journeys and your act of kindness, your last act of kindness could have saved your life? He looked. Has it crossed your mind that you will have had serious car trouble, but because God had mercy on you for your kindness to the needy, he reduced the problems. It now ended up just as a flat tire. It was supposed to be a broken axle, shaft, ball joint that will come off, the type that will pierce your fender, or engine knocking on the highway. Has it crossed your mind? Has it crossed your mind it was supposed to be an accident that will have injured you and crippled you for life, or worse, killed you? A friend of mine the other day, his mother was with him abroad, living there for some time. Yes, he's been living there with them for a long time. A few months after she came home, she became ill. They took her to hospital, and then she died. And he was very upset. Of course, naturally, he went to see the doctor. What happened? What did not happen? So when he called me, you know, typical of those who live abroad, they say an unconscious thing about medical services in Nigeria is not as good as it is abroad. And that's why people die here, and nobody dies abroad. They live forever. You know that now. Yeah, nobody dies there. Nobody. The old do not die. The young do not die. Methuselah is still there. If you go there, he lives not too far away from the White House. Do you understand? Adam's mates, they are there. Nobody dies abroad. That is how some people reason. So when somebody dies at home, first thing is, how was the medical care? And you want to ask the person, your neighbor not die for there. Have we come there to come and ask you how the medical care was? Anyway, he called me. We're talking about it. So along the line, I said, listen, I know how you are reasoning. That if only she has stayed. If only. I said, you forget something. Death is an appointment. Death is an appointment. Your mother was going to die. God just saved you the trouble of having to bring a corpse down home. He made her enter the plane by herself. Travel down to Nigeria. Stayed. Greeted all her relatives. People she had not seen in a long time. Went to church. Paid her dues. You know the way our Orthodox churches may be. I had paid her dues, attended one or two services, and then died. God gave her a few months to prepare for departure, and you are angry. One of our sisters had that story. She was so angry, she was unhappy one day. She said, why is God doing this to me? I said, like what? She didn't know her father for a long time. Because the father and mother, they had problems while she was, I think before she was born, thereabout, or while she was a baby. But make a long story short, they separated. They didn't know the man until she was a teenager. And then one day, the man, she saw people in their home. And they now told her that, that's your father. He came with his people, you know, to come and claim his child. So he came to do the ceremonies and everything. Took her aside, talked to her, that if she needed anything, she should come and see him and all of that. And then a few weeks later, he died. It's very painful. She had not seen him since he was a baby. Never seen him. Now I saw him a few weeks later, a few months later, he's gone. God, why? And I told her, I said, did it cross your mind that death is an appointment? God saw that he was going to die. And I realized that this girl of mine has never seen this man, his father. So he went, provoked him to go and reconcile, to come and see you. He was an assignment from God so that you will never have to wander all the days of your life. God showed you mercy, now you're angry. Whether he came to see you or not, he was going to die. He's coming to visit you, it's not the cause of his death. Nobody took him away to punish you. They made him come to see you to show you mercy. The day he would die was determined long before he came to your house. She never thought about that. The same story I told that my fellow that day. You did an act of kindness and you had problems. And to you, that means now that maybe a witch, an Obanje boy, has taken your money to the coven, to the cult zone. And with that, they are now afflicting you. I said, no, it doesn't work like that. And see, people, many times, they end up frustrating the goodness God will have given to their lives. You heard this kind of thing before, and this happens all the time. I tell this story all the time. Let me tell you again. Listen to this. This is the scenario I like to play. In life, this is how life is. Life is spiritual. Life is not a joke. It's not the physical things you see that determines life. Not those things. The Bible makes it clear to us. The words were framed by the word of God. What we see did not come out of things that are visible. What determines your life, your destiny, your future is not physical things. It's not your certificate that decides how well you will succeed. It's not. The things that determine are spiritually determined. They are spiritual things. Please bear these things in mind. Very, very important for us to understand it. Now, this is why I'm saying this. In life, prayer is important. I'm a preacher. Many times I go to pray, especially when I'm an invited guest. Sometimes, like this, when I remember, when we are closing, I'll say, people, yeah, I'll pray for you. Time for you to pray for me. Sometimes I even go down on my knees, and I'm not joking. And anytime people say, let's pray for the man of God, I will stand up. I will close my eyes, and I will receive the prayer. If I call my mother or she calls me, and she says, God bless you, I say amen. It's not a greeting, it's a blessing. If I call my father-in-law, call my mother-in-law, call any of them, and they say to me, God bless you, to be well with you and your family, I say amen. Why? Prayer is important. If Paul could say, pray for us, who am I? Jesus went into the garden and said, come and watch with me for an hour. Jesus needed prayer to succeed. Who is this guy? To think he knows the keys. I've heard Christians say, thank God we don't say things like that anymore. We know the keys to press. Pray for me is good. If I've been a blessing to you, pray for me. There are times I'll get emails. People will say, or maybe they call in or they meet me. Sir, you will not derail. I say amen. Even if you're a little boy, I say amen. It's a prayer. All those things are adding up before the throne of God. I'm going somewhere. So prayer is important. That's why in life, don't just go around offending people. Because curses are also important. And I say, so people may curse me. Listen, the Bible talks about curses, that is curses without a cause, and curses with a cause. I've tried to pronounce them properly so you know what I'm talking about. Cause, as in C-A-U-S-E, the reason. A curse is a spiritual force released to cripple performance, to cripple progress, to frustrate the plan of God in people's lives. It exists. So when people curse you, does it have effect? It depends on which group. If it has a cause, it has effect, and you have to nullify it. I'll tell you how to nullify it. If it doesn't have a cause, you are going on the road, somebody do work, I no go better for you, just continue going like mosquito past your ear. You are driving normal driving. You know, it rained heavily. I drove half of the distance getting down here from Minugo today, inside heavy rain. Let us assume as I was going down, because I needed to get here, I'm on the highway. Assume I hit a puddle, and I splash water, okay? And some villagers, maybe they are sitting beside the road, and the mud hits them. And they turn to me and say, you know, go better for you. You know, that kind of thing. I won't slow down. I'll keep moving. I didn't do anything wrong. I was on the highway. I didn't create a puddle. You saw it's raining. You now stay near the road. You are the one looking for trouble. If I was near the place, I could slow down. Maybe I slow down. Out of courtesy, I will apologize. But it doesn't mean I feel so responsible. Are you getting my point? There's no malice in what I did. There's no malice. There was a man like that, true story I'm about to tell you. I know the man. It didn't happen to me, but I heard him tell the story. He was traveling like that somewhere in Ekiti State or Ondo State, somewhere in one of those two states. And he hit a puddle like that and splashed water on two men from the village who were walking back, rather from the farm or somewhere. And it started raining curses on him. So he stopped and just apologized out of courtesy. I'm so sorry. One of them calmed down. The other one refused to calm down. Maybe he's angry with this man because he had a car or whatever it is. So after a man, a while, I think the Holy Spirit possesses this man. And he just told him, I say, it's enough. I am an anointed messenger of the Almighty God. Nobody talks to me like that. The man says, so? He says, so? Okay, I return your curses to you. That man dropped and died. On the spot. Not tomorrow. There, he dropped and died. So I told you, I am an anointed messenger of the Almighty. You don't talk to me like that. Of course, the partner ran. If not you, what will you do? Thank you, before God. Yeah, I miss. He went and gathered people from the village nearby. But he didn't go away. He stood beside a dead body. When they came, of course, this is Western Nigeria. They know how to prostrate. Everybody was on the floor, begging him. After a while, he went to where the man laid on the floor. Commanded him to come back to life. The man sneezed and woke up. He entered his car and drove away. What I've told you, I say to you, believing it to be 100% true. The man is a man of integrity. I know him very well. At least I knew him in his days. He's gone now. So curses are real. Okay, so there's causeless causes. And there's causeless curses. Those ones, don't worry about it. You ask somebody. Maybe have you heard the thing of that? If somebody says, please help me with something you don't have, say, just ignore the fellow. Do you get my point? People just be cursing people recklessly on the road. That's not what I'm talking about. But I'm telling you situations like a young man insults his father, and his father says, it will never be well with you. It will never be well with that guy. Why? The word of God backs that curse. It's in the scriptures. He said, he that does such a thing, his lamp will go out in the time of darkness. The word of God backs it. Honor your father and your mother, that it may be well with you, that you may live long in the land which the Lord has given you. That is a blessing. And the man who goes against that, dishonoring his father and his mother, he's begging for a curse. That's a matter of fact, what I've told you. So there are curses that have causes that are legit in the realm of the spirit. That is why I'm saying you don't just go around doing anyhow. You have a shop. You are master of fake. Every time you sell something fake to somebody and they come and say, ha, that useless man, God will punish him. It registers. Trust me, it registers. That is why Christians, you have to learn how to walk under the power of the blood constantly. It's important you understand it. You must know how to walk under the power of the blood all the time. I will talk about it. And one of the ways, let me quickly drop it. One of the ways is you also must show mercy. Or you must be somebody who constantly shows mercy. If you show mercy, you activate mercy on your side. Now, there's a reason why I'm saying all of these things. So, many times, when Satan wants to, you know, I've told you that prayer is important, and not drop something on the side, curses are also important. Okay? So don't go around collecting legitimate curses anyhow. Even though, many times, you may, without knowing, collect one, and but then, because one, of ignorance, and two, because you show mercy, and because of the power of intercession, all of them are buried by the blood of Jesus, and you have no effect in your life. So don't think I'm going around worrying who's cursing me. I don't give a hoot. I just make sure I'm literally covered by the blood of Jesus. And I don't take that blood in vain. I won't say because I'm covered by the blood of Jesus, I'm going to take another man's wife. The blood of Jesus will be cleaned from that segment where the arrow wants to pass through. Are you getting my point? And so we don't take that grace in vain. Many times people say that we are covered by the blood. They become reckless with life. It's not true. It's not supposed to be like that. But back to the point I'm trying to make. Because prayer is important. Many times there are people that the only person praying for them, this is the illustration I like to use all the time. The only person praying for them is their mother. Think about it. They are wicked to everybody. When they earn money, they don't dash anybody. In fact, they buy something they will not pay. They are owing their landlord. They have money. They just say, why is the man charging 500,000? The house is not worth more than 250. I gave 500,000 last year. Let it last for 2 years. It's not your house. You sign an agreement. You are refusing to follow it. He has money. So landlord is just whining for him every day. The landlord is angry with him on a daily basis. He doesn't give to anybody, so nobody rejoicing over him. The only person he gives money to is his mother and another one of his aunties. For that reason, this wicked man, you know, he's very wicked. We have agreed. The only person that's praying for him is his mother. Think about it. Why? I assume his name is Fidelis. When she wants to eat, it's Fidelis' money she uses to eat. Her medicine, who buys it? Fidelis. Then the auntie too has one or two fine clothes he bought. So those two people pray for him regularly. So even though his wicked acts should have killed him, God shows him mercy. Because two people, especially his mother, they're actively praying for him. Then, but you know what? All the sins he has committed, they are pursuing him. All the evil he has done in the market where he does his business. All the young women he promised marriage, after sleeping with them a few times, he got tired. He now says he's changed his mind. He never wanted to marry them anyway. Apart from the sin of adultery and fornication, apart from all of those lying and cheating, the fact that he's not deceiving people added to it. So the sins are pursuing him. But anytime God, because Satan, this is what Satan does, he's an accuser. Once those sins rise up before the judgment throne of God, opposition comes. What is opposition? His mother's prayers. God, please keep him. God will look. Look at that woman. Say, what do we do now? Now, it's not God that's wondering, what do we do? It's Satan. So now we now wonder, what do we do? How do we kill this guy? Having seen that what is keeping him alive is the prayer of his mother, you know what Satan will do? Now, he has other problems, just that he's alive. He's sick today. They steal his money tomorrow. His shop caught fire. Half of the goods burnt. So now they now drag him to church to go and meet a pastor. Satan is there waiting. He's waiting. He's waiting. Now his business is not doing well again. Satan is there. You know, there are different kinds of preachers, pastors. There are genuine ones, and there are some that used to be in the shrine. But because people stopped coming to the shrine, they had to come to the city. So they bought shiny suits, curled their hair a bit. You see, when they are filming, like, the hair is shining, glistening, oil all over the place. And they are speaking all kinds of English that they have crammed from other people's books. Sometimes they give food to the poor. Under the television camera, man of God is giving food to the poor. You've seen things like that. These are babalawos. These are DBS that belong in the shrines under a tree. But because people like you will not go again, the man came to town, rented a hall, painted it, and call it Gospel Deliverance of Latter Days Incorporated Church of God International. He wears a suit. I say, Jesus, amen. Everybody comes. Now say, you want to see pastor. I heard one recently. One lady went to go and see pastor. Pastor said, go and count the grains of rice in a bag of rice. These are things we see. When you have finished counting it, you now buy the number of bags of rice you counted. You should know when your sin has found you out finally. When all the iniquities of your great grandfather is coming to talk to you. So we find pastors like that. They are the ones Satan works with. Those days, I don't know about this, is Eastern Nigeria. In Western Nigeria, a lot of them wear white. They are there wearing white garments all over the place. They are the ones that will tell you to go and bring a cock for prayer, red cloth for prayer, palm oil for prayer. Is that not the same thing the DBA does? The only difference is that this one has cross on the pulpit, on the stage. It will tell you to bring oil. Say, which type? Olive oil. No, not olive oil, coconut oil. They will bring the oil squeezed from okra seed. You what? just go and try. Bring 5 kola nuts and his church. They're not too common in the East and the West. They always have their church near a river. Yes. There has to be a stream at least. If they don't have that, it has to be a strategic junction. Yeah, these are all idolatrous practices brought under a cloak that appears Christian. So people go to those places. So these are our Fidelis guys will now get there. And they are waiting. As soon as they finish praying, Amen, 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 Ojolwawa, Amen. As I was praying, I saw a woman. Now, another thing, listen to this. There are 2 types of such people. There are those that don't see anything. They say the same thing to everybody. Like one sister was called, do you have a black woman in your household? In Africa, even if you're an Anambra state, there's black woman in your household. How can you be in Africa and there's no black woman? Somebody has to be black in your lineage. No matter how yellow you are, just look 2 generations. You see black people. One of our sisters, very fair, almost transparent. Her sister, the day she told me, this is my sister. I said, how can she be your sister? I want black like me. How can you be? That's how they do. Some of them, they don't see anything. They just say, but some of them, they see things. When they look and say, I saw, they are not lying. They literally saw a woman. They would describe the woman. You say, that's my mother. They would describe what she was wearing last time. What she was wearing. You will see, this is exactly what Mama wore last time I went to see her. I said, I saw her with a pot. And I looked inside the pot and I saw you inside. And she was putting the pot on the fire. The fire is still low, but she's adding more firewood to it. That's why you have been feeling sick and your business is going down. Say, man of God, what do I do? And I see another woman helping her fetch the firewood. That woman, when she finished the description, you just tell you something, she walks like this. That's my auntie. And next thing, said that, you have been giving them money. Yes, your money, they use it to buy the pot. It is not possible for somebody to see that kind of vision except you have revelations of Christ Jesus for you not to believe. I have a colleague. Those are the ones who just left school. We're house officers in the same building, working in the same institution, living together. He used to laugh at me all the time, say, I had a good church. Say, he likes women. Hi, young boy, young man. He said, I doesn't believe in God. And I used to tell him, I said, oh boy, you believe in God. Let's assume his name is Andy, not Andy, another name. I said, Andy, you believe in God. I used to help him. You don't believe. Like, come on, get away. You believe in God. I said, but because of the iniquity of your hand, your ways are not straight. You cannot admit to faith in God because it means you have to stop. That's why you don't have to admit to faith in God. So one day, one of those days, he used to call me Blackie. He said, Blackie, one day, I follow my friend, go one church. I just go see the guy. He said, man, I just escort him. So I followed my friend to this particular church. He said, a few days before that, I had dreamt that my cousin died. So as soon as I entered that church, as soon as my foot stepped on the threshold, the prophet was at the end of the hall. He pointed at me and said, you! Somebody's about to die in your family. Except you fast for 1 week. Something like that. The person will die. He said, 3 days ago, I dreamt my cousin died. I did not tell anybody. He said, I entered this place. The man told me somebody's about to die. You know what he said to me? He said, I no go lie you. Oh boy, I fast too. This was a man who told me he didn't believe in God. So I told him that day, I said, my bro, I tell you before, say you believe in God. I told you you believe in God. It's just that you don't want to admit it because you like iniquity. Let him not lie his own father. All right? But you see, that's revelation. See what he did to him. So how can you see a witchcraft pot? Somebody who's seen it, describing your mother, never met your mother, and you wouldn't believe. The another set, I told you, the second set is technology. As you are coming in, somebody is there. They say you feel a form. They've gone online, Facebook. That as you are talking, they are tweeting your life. Sorry, they are WhatsApping your life to the pastor. Very common. One of our sisters drove to a meeting. As the pastor preaching, I see CX1111155 MUS. Whose car is that? Called her to the front. She said, whose car is that one? She said, that sounds like my car. Came to the front. Said, God said, that car, you will put it on the altar. Do I need to tell you? But good enough, she's somebody that knows the word of God. So she couldn't be harassed. She said, man of God, it is not my car, it's my husband's own. The man said, it is for the life of your husband. You have to go and tell him that one. Me, I can't go back home and tell him the car he gave me to go out didn't come back with me because he saw a vision. Now, she didn't use it, but just lie, forget that thing. Many of us have believed such things. They are technologically assisted word of knowledge. It's WhatsApp. I know a friend who told me that his pastor used to do it. Say, when they come to church, the pastor said, oh boy, do your work. I said, yes, sir. He knows what he's doing. He goes around to check the kind of cars people brought to church. And he'll send the pastor a signal. Someone said, you came with that G-Class, G-Wagon. Omo, you will give offering today. Oh, Lord said, I should tell y'all, it's your G-Wagon that's speaking for you. People do that. But there are ministers like that who don't do that. They see their visions. They are not lying. But they are visions of Satan. There are lying spirits. There are familiar spirits. There are a princess, she was delivering a girl of the demon. And the demon said, I see you in a car that crashed around the tree. And the man died inside. The man said, get away. That's Satan's plan. I don't work in his plan. No further discussion. No further discussion. You don't see visions of me and that will be excited. One day my daughter was sleeping. She woke up. I said, what happened? She said, I dreamt that you died. I said, shut up, my friend, sleep. It was one day I was preaching like this, and my wife heard it for the first time months later. I didn't pray about it. I didn't pray. Hey, who will not die? Won't you die? You that's telling me that you dreamt I died. You, uncle. One day, if Jesus has not come back, who will not die? What did you want to scare me with? You dreamt that I died. Rubbish. My friend, shut up and sleep. And I closed my eyes because she was sick. That's why she was sleeping in my room that day. She had fever. A child that has fever will see all kinds of things. I mean, doctor, I know. If it's a lot of us, you know what happens? Prayer don't start to. Prayer, I will not die. Who will not die? You will die. Why are you making noise? It's when that is the issue. I won't die now. I knew that before she fell asleep. After she woke up, I knew it. As long as I'm walking the will of God, I won't die now. Okay, that thing. Before I die, I will know. I will be old that time. I will have finished preaching every gospel that can pass through my mouth. You want to dream, you can't. That's your dream is your problem. I've heard those people have told my wife before. And that they see death around me. I say, maybe the one I cast out has not run far away. I don't have it. There are prayers I don't pray. Oh, God is my witness. Oh, you see death around me. Ask death. Now you they see. Now you know what you they find. Go talk to the death now. Listen. I'm not being. I'm too powerful. It's not about power. It is about Christ. Are you getting my point? If you see visions, what is he supposed to do? Scare me? I won't walk in fear. I won't walk in fear. I can't live my life by fear. I want to travel. He said that, you know, they saw death, so I won't come to Accra to preach today. I'd rather die going to preach than stay at home doing nothing and living long. What kind of useless life is that? Let me do the work of God. Don't scare me with anything. The only thing Revelation should do for me is make me check my life. If I see that kind of thing, and now they say, Pastor Banky, where were you last week? He said, the girl told me that, are you getting my point? That is what I would now say, don't follow those girls again. That money in your pocket, when they gave it to you, did they not say it for a radio broadcast? Why are you buying suya with it? Those are the revelations I want to hear. Are you getting my point? You can't just come and scare me for nothing. That's what revelation does. I mean, if you check my life, say, look, this woman here is my wife. I pay her father. You understand my point? And we are married. I'm a man of one woman. So what is it? I collect person money. I didn't exceed anybody's money. You're not using debt to threaten me or punish you on your debt. I don't have your time. I don't have your time. All I need to do is walk in repentance every day. Listen, I told, look, I have never in my life, I've been married for almost, that's 19 years. My wife has never heard me pray about a witch. Never. How rubbish prayer point is that? There are things I don't pray about. Including the day a bat appeared in my bedroom. I opened, collected the bat and threw it away. Who has the time? The bat came out of nowhere, literally nowhere. I didn't even think, they have come. Can they come? They smoke. Come where? Who is there anyway? I'll be afraid of an animal that can kill. If it was a snake, I'll even show some more respect. Bat. Do you get my point? If it's a snake, at least you will kill it because so that it doesn't bite somebody. This is bad. Of course, I collected the bat, trapped it, and said, please throw it away. It missed its way. What rubbish is that? Oh no, my brother now sent me a picture the following day. Crab at his door. He said, oh, God, I see my own witch for here. I said, ha, ha, ha. Some people be praying. Why should he pray? He lives near the ocean. Crab crawls everywhere. People, you see, we use this our African fear mindset. Back to the story of the man I was telling you. That kind of thing he will believe. Why? He has been set up for destruction. That kind of thing we believe. When God is about to destroy people, they start believing lies. When the whole bomb was about to be destroyed and the house of Israel was about to be divided into two, they gave him sound counsel. He didn't believe it. When Absalom was about to be destroyed after he attacked his father, Ahithophel, who the Bible testified that his words as if he sought counsel from the mouth of God, gave him sound counsel. He couldn't believe why. It was the purpose of God to destroy Absalom. When people want to be destroyed like that, but the prayer coming in their favor is too much. That's what Satan does. You will not see him in witchcraft plot. What do we do? Now listen to this. Remember, it's a satanic plot. Remember, it is a satanic plot. You know what the Satan now does? The Satan will now tell him simply, through the prophet, we will pray for 3 days. We will fast for 1 week. Then your mother, you must not let her see anything that's your own again. Don't see her face. And your auntie, you have to cut them off. It makes sense. Does it not make sense? Except that it's a lie of the devil. The only person that was keeping him alive by her intercession, Satan cut her off nicely. That's what happens. So it takes a few days. They normally send money every month. That month will end. They won't send anything. The mother will call. He will not answer. The woman starts getting hungry. She doesn't have any other source of income. The little she had is not moving. Small shop in front of her house. It's this guy's money that's been sustaining her. And suddenly he doesn't understand. The auntie too will come and say, hi, is Fide. Ah, I have not heard from him for 2 months. So I called him the other day with another number. He said he will call me back. He has not called me back till now. At that time, her blood pressure starts rising. She can't buy the drugs. Remember, every day she used to pray, God, keep him alive. Remember? You know now what she starts praying? She does not realize it. She now turns to his enemy and she does not know it. She will say to God in prayer, I don't know what I did to him. You are the judge. That statement is the end of his life. The mother dies 6 months later. She's not having any care. And his life will never be straight again. Never. Never. His business will close. He will run half mental. They will now say his mother was a witch. She killed him. Actually, she did not. She only withdrew her intercession because the wickedness of his heart had provoked his enemies to speak negatively to him, about him. And that had gone before the judgment throne of God. But God wouldn't do anything against him because somebody was begging for mercy for him. Then Satan went and cut off that source. Let me say to all of you again, you cannot give money with a kind heart and it will be used against you. Christmas is coming now, she? No, be September with this, so. I keep on telling Christians, you self save money. Redeem yourself from all the iniquity you have done. I'm like, refusal to give. Christmas time, when there are so many materials in the market that are not expensive. You can buy, you know, small bags of rice, 10 kg. Buy them heavy load. You have money. By the time you spend 500,000, you won't be broke. Take it home. Dump it with your mother. Any of your aunties that come say they should take one roll of material and one small bag of rice. Don't care whether they are witches. No matter the coven they are in, let them eat that rice. They have lost their power to witch. Why? You did it in righteousness. You did it in holiness. God, who is the judge of all, would never allow anybody to use such things against you. I'm not saying they wouldn't try, because some people misunderstand me. They think I'm saying that there are no wicked people. I'll talk about that. There are wicked people. I'm just saying they are not your problem. Typical African mindset, always looking for who's responsible. People hardly accept responsibility. Enemy of destiny. Let me tell you, I told you earlier, there are two kinds of pastors in that area. I've left the other vision area, another area of those who preach enemy of destiny. It's one of two things. Many people came to do business. This job we are doing, for some people, is business. It's pure business. It's business. I'm not, Paul said that thou shalt not muzzle all the ox that is threshing out the wheat. So I'm not saying it is wrong, okay, to eat from where you labor. But in ministry, we don't do it for business. You just expect if good falls, we collect. Are you getting my point? But for some people, it's not like that. It's business. They have tricks. They know they have to scare you. If they don't scare you, you won't be back. You won't give that offering. You wouldn't give the offering. That is one. There are some people, like I said, it's not just about business for them. One of them said, they didn't come to ministry to do business. They are just stupid. They are just ignorant. They don't know better. They just repeat everything they saw somebody say. They don't know scriptures. They go, they watch television. Some of them, they think that's how to do ministry. The whole crowd is shouting, prayer. I say, that's how I can get my people to pray. I've seen people, look, if you tell Christians, let us pray. That now, in the name of Jesus, I will not sin again. That's how they'll be praying. Father, in the name of Jesus, I won't sin again. They finish. Then I say, okay, now, let us pray that all those who have held my destiny back, all the people that say I will not make progress, all those who are putting me inside witchcraft pots, tonight, they will die. Oh, God, see prayer. They will need a go-go to stop them praying. You have to ring back. Get it, don't do it. Say, Pastor, wait, let's kill somebody. Some people, they go, they learn, say, oh, this is how to do it. They come to church. Let us pray. You will say, devil, I got you now. I got you. And all your agents tonight, and I go, die. You see the whole place, die. Oluwa, everybody. But you shouldn't fall to any of these groups. Yes, you shouldn't. You should fill your heart with knowledge. Fill your heart with the revelation of Christ Jesus. And realize something, that's where I'm going. Human beings are not your problem. It's an African mindset. You say, are you saying there are no witches? One day I was preaching on radio. Oh man, call. They say, Pastor, there are witches. Oh, I didn't say there are no witches. I am preaching to Christians. People who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. They're the ones I'm talking to. And I'm saying, even if everybody in the world, apart from you, were witches, they still can't do anything to you. Let's read our Bibles. Ephesians chapter 6. I want to read from verse 10. It says, finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the full armor of God so that you will be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. That's verse 11. And this verse 12. He said, for our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness that are in heavenly places. Now, before I read further, let me read that verse 12 in a simple modern translation. He said, for we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies. And that translation says we are not fighting against human beings that we can see. He said, but against evil rulers and authorities in the unseen world, against mighty powers in the dark world, against evil spirits in the heavenly places. That's what I want to read for us to start. First, Paul established that we are fighting troubles. He's just saying, who are we fighting against? He said, we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies. He said, our enemies are not human beings. Even though we can see people that we think are our enemies, he said, those are not our real enemies. You know, last week, I was reading, about 2 days ago, I was in my house, I was reading that this book in my hand contains some sermons by A.W. Tozer. And Tozer was saying some things in one of the sermons, and that particular one is titled, How God Prepares His Prophet. He said some things that really excited me, because I realized that these are the things that Christians often do not know. He said, Jesus said that our problem is a spiritual problem, not a physical danger. And our visible enemies are rarely our real enemies. Let me say that again. This is Tozer. He was quoting the Lord Jesus Christ here. And that was from Matthew chapter 10, when Jesus said, and fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. He was saying, Jesus was saying to us that our problems in life are spiritual, and if we see any physical enemy, he's rarely ever the enemy. Now listen to this. A.W. Tozer said, the man who comes at you with a gun is not your real enemy. And though his intention may be to kill you, he said, your real enemy is that within you which makes you vulnerable to him. Did you hear that?
Yes.
He said, the source of our real danger is spiritual. And if we get our inward life fixed up, our outward enemies will be helpless. Now, even the devil, listen to this. He said, when the devil came around to Jesus, Jesus said of him, for the prince of this world cometh and has nothing in me. He said, the devil can only get in you if he has something in there that belongs to him. I hope you're following that. He said, if he does not have anything in there that belongs to him, he can only go around the outside and growl. He said, if as we become adjusted to the will of God, we win. But if we are not adjusted to the will of God, we lose. It is as simple as that. That is A.W. Tozer speaking. We've read Paul. Paul has already established that to us. That our real problem in life is not human beings. Because we don't have all the time, and of course I have to close in a short while. I want to understand this. Forget thinking about any human being as the enemy of your destiny. They are not. Forget thinking that somebody can put your life in the pot. It is not true. Now, please, he said they do such things. I need to back up a bit and explain some things. One, I am talking to believers. Every statement I am making is to Christians. Let me say something to you. We are Africans. And some of those beliefs of Africans is not because they are stupid, it's because they've seen some things. And I want you to know I am not ignorant of the fact that dark powers exist. Because many times when I'm preaching, that is the impression some people have. They think this pastor is saying that there are no dark powers. They think this pastor is saying that there are no witches. They think I'm saying that spiritual things can't hold somebody's destiny. You heard me say now that curses exist. You heard me say that. As a matter of fact, curses exist. I am very aware of that fact. So please bear it in mind. Let me tell you the story of this man again, in case you don't know much about him. His name is Balaam. Balaam is in the scriptures. You know the story of Balaam? You can find it in Numbers 22 into 23. Now, this was what happened to Balaam. Have you ever heard this story before? That Balaam, a donkey was speaking to him, he did not run. Have you heard that thing before? Have you ever thought about that before? But you've heard that story before about Balaam. In which people will say that, why didn't Balaam run when a donkey was talking to him?